you'll turn over to John, we'll go over to chapter 11. Try not to keep you long. I know we got the teens class in here, so I'd have to really be on my toes today. That reminds me of being at school over at ETSU. You got to keep things moving. Their minds move so quick. Can't have a lot of, what we call sometimes lag time in class, we call that, because their minds, you got to keep them busy because the way they pick up things quickly. Told you about that friend of mine. His son walked behind him or something. He was putting a credit card number into a computer. Said it had to be the only time he'd ever seen it. He memorized it and then ordered a dog from Connecticut. And you said, what's the purpose of that? Well, they lived in Houston. They get a call one afternoon and say, that dog you ordered here in Houston, you need to come get it. He said, well, I didn't order a dog. He said, well, somebody at this address did. Somebody using this credit card did. 12-year-old son come out and said, oh, did our dog make it? And thing is, the dog was $1,500. And so they bought a $1,500 dog from Connecticut. Didn't have a choice but to go get it. But anyway, I think about that often. I think about how quick teenagers' minds and stuff works. But Brother Wayne said, giving them ideas there. All right, let's see here. We'll get over into chapter 11. I had studied a little bit on Thomas before we'd left. And, you know, Thomas was one of those, was he ever, talk about the Apostle Thomas, did he ever think about the glass being half full or half empty? You know, some of us are that way. Some would have went, I guess, for a checkup this week, and their glass would have been half full. Everything's going to be just right, you know. Or maybe before some go and it'd be half empty. So, well, I hope they don't find anything. And you know, my back might bother me a little bit. I'm just using an example, so it might be half empty. Not as positive maybe as others or something. The week before we left, and I'm a week off, I looked at Thomas in the Scripture and said, you know, why was he the way he was? We talk about doubting Thomas. We call him pessimist. And can you have a pessimistic personality, as I was reading about Thomas and reading some stuff, and still follow Jesus, still be sincere, still love the Lord? You can. That's right. That's right. You can be and just be pessimistic. You know, there's one fellow I was talking about, the one not doing well, been sick about 12 years. Every time you see him, I'll say, how you doing? He'll say, wonderful. How are you? And I saw him this time. He's in a step-down unit in the hospital and had a lot of things hooked up to him. And again, how you doing? Wonderful. How are you doing? And tell you something about him, he's been blind since he's 10 years old. He's had two different cancers, and he's about 70 years old now. And every time you ask him, how you doing? I'm doing well, doing wonderful. I didn't know it till this time. He even coached a baseball team. I thought, how in the world did he coach a baseball team? He's been blind since he's been 10. They said he'd get one player to stand next to him, and he could hear, he'd listen to everything going on. And I guess, you know, you've always heard, you know, maybe lose your sight or something, other senses get more in tune or sharper. And he said he'd ask one of those players, he'd say, where's the shortstop? And they'd say, well, they're over to the right or closer to second. Isn't that, you know, whoever he'd think of a name, isn't that John playing shortstop? And they'd say, yes. He'd scream, John, I said move to the left. And then he'd get another. And they said every night, you know, he'd get a name mixed up about where they was playing, and you'd have a center fielder move, and he meant to tell the second baseman to move, and they'd have to say, no, that's so, oh, okay. But just tell you that about, he's someone who's lived his life with the glass half full, if not full. And so sometimes it's hard for us to do that, though, to say you don't get discouraged with medical exams or when tests come up or when you hear bad news. Maybe get a loved one's passed away, someone's died, or you got to go to a funeral. Something in the church happens. Say you don't get, it's hard to stay optimistic all the time. And so jot these three things down. Pessimism, can you be pessimistic and still follow Jesus? Can you be sincere? Can you be a logical thinker, you know, and have a reasonable thoughts in your minds and still follow Jesus? And what I mean by that, you follow steps. And say, well, if this, then this, then this, so it must be right. use as an example, go back to use myself. It's easy to use myself as an example, and we can laugh at it, but is it logical? That MRI they gave me this time, they strap you down. I've only had one here, and they didn't do that, but down there they strap you in. So when you go into that MRI, I mean, you can't move. So my thought to get through that always was, well, I'll come out of this thing fighting if I need to. But down there, I guess they thought of that, and they said, well, we'll just tie you down. So you lay tied down for almost an hour, I do. You go through it and come out. This time I sat up too fast. I sat up too fast and I passed out on them. I didn't even realize it. And there was some argument or disagreement on the young man that gave me the dye. He injected it too fast. But either way, it doesn't matter. So I sat up on the table and I went right back out. And I don't know how long I stayed out, just a few seconds. And next thing I knew, they came running in. And they said, we're going to call the Acres team. That's what they call it. Something about AC, something, advanced cardiac, something. And I raised up and I said, no, we don't need them. And they said, why? And I said, I've had to deal with them before. I said, we don't want to go there. And I'm telling you this because as the doctor came in, he thought in a logical process, well, he did fine. He's had these before. He set up really fast. We tell people not to sit up fast. He was tied down, et cetera. So logically, that's what happened. So he said, keep me 10 minutes, let me go, and I was fine. So in the logical way of thinking, that was okay. So can we be a logical thinker and still follow Jesus? In other words, can we see things in our life that may not be perfect or that may occur, and then can we still think about that's what Christ has for us, that's what God has for our life, and that's the way it is, or sometimes that changes. It's not logical, but it's still God's will that occur. And then last but not least, can you have a crisis of faith which may lead to doubt? In other words, can Christians sometimes doubt their salvation? Can that occur? And so we'll look at these three things, and we'll use Thomas in three examples to try to see that this morning. And as I always get up here, my nose starts running. Now, I will say this. You get in that dry Texas air, I don't have any problem with my nose running or sinuses. So it's got something to do with East Tennessee, but that's all right. I prefer to live in East Tennessee and have a runny nose. That's right. Amen. So let's look here and see. Thomas, was he a half-full man or was he half-empty? And can we still live as Thomas did? And the answer I say is yes, even before we get started. But let's look at human nature a little bit. Let's go to John chapter 11. I've already mentioned that. Let me get my little specs on here. I got these while I was down in Houston. So now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. It's verse number 1, chapter 11, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Of course you guys know the story. He's going to see Lazarus, but he wanted to give Lazarus, and you know, you look here, he allowed Lazarus to sleepeth in our Lord's words, but at the same time, he in our human way of thinking, or as far as his family and as far as apostles went, time to pass away. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And his disciples said, wait a second, you're going somewhere where they've already tried to kill you. And in a second, we'll look at a few places over in John what they're referring to. You know, there's one place here in John where I've heard preached on before. They call it, you know, Jesus' disappearing act. You know, and if you think about it, you know, he was in the crowd, then he was gone. And we'll look at that. In other words, he, you know, just more or less vanished. And you say, oh, that can't happen. Well, if you're the Lord, it can. And so Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth. Not because he seeth the light of the world. Not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So he had to tell them plainly, because they thought, well, wait a second. Jesus is saying he's asleep, but we know he's dead. You know, they reasoned among themselves. And if you look in John, and well, really all the, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, isn't it something how God always knows what they were thinking? And to think that's changed any today, it's not. He still knows what you're thinking. He knows what your thoughts are, knows what the thoughts of your heart. So keep that in mind as we read this. The disciples reasoned that among themselves, and Jesus still knew it. It's not like they were talking out loud. He knew what they were thinking. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that he was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He was talking there that, you know, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. And here's where I wanted to get to, verse number 16. In other words, the sincere pessimist. This is talking about Lazarus. You know, Thomas knows. This kind of gets in that logical thinking, too. He's like, wait a second, he's been dead 3 days. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They're going to die with him. He said, who's he going to die with? Lazarus. And some said, well, he's going to die with Lazarus. But what he's talking about is Jesus. Let him go that he may die. He may die with Jesus. So you can stop here and you can say, wait a second, you say Thomas is a pessimist. In other words, doubting Thomas. But at the same time, Thomas is the one, you could also say he was bold. Thomas speaks up and says, you know what? They've sought to kill Jesus, especially where we're going back to. They said they were going to stone him. But you know what? Let's go back. We'll die with him. He stepped up. And I've a lot of times read that and said that in a negative light. Said Thomas said, well, let's go back. We can die with him. I look at it, it's like, well, let us go that we may die with him. We'll go forward. You wonder if that had an effect on Peter. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached. You think about that. See the boldness of him to stand up. Then verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And it goes on, of course, about Lazarus and talks about raising Lazarus from the dead. But if we look here, Thomas is very realistic. He'd seen all the miracles that Christ had done thus far. He still was pessimistic and doubting, a glass half full type person, or half empty, I guess. But at the same time, he showed boldness that the other ones didn't show. Let's look at a few places here in the Scripture. You can turn with me. They're all in John. And go back and see what John, or what Thomas knew. John 7, verse number 1. And your Bible may have these as a reference as well. It's got a few of them. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Judea, where they were heading back to, because the Jews sought to kill him. They were after him. He'd caused division. You look a couple more places we'll turn to, and I can read them to you. See chapter 8, verse 37 here. I jotted them down, and again, some of them are referenced already. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. In other words, because you don't believe it. And then the one I mentioned earlier, as far as the disappearing acts in that same chapter, I believe it is. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, that really got him mad. Said he was before Abraham. Then took up stones to cast at him. And you know, this is one of the greatest, all the Scripture is great, but one of the greatest verses that I think sometimes we don't spend enough time looking at, just the power that Christ had. He said, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You think, well, what did he do? Did he get under a table? Somebody cover him up in a sheet? What happened? How'd he get out? The way I read that is they didn't see him. He went right past them. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through. You say, why do you say that? Because he said it went through the midst of them and so passed by. You think about that. I know Billy Mitchell was just down at Good Shepherd here just last week. Heard that was a good service. Every night had good services. I remember he called sometimes and for young people, middle-aged people, old people. Just think about this way, everybody. Think about this. And he would say, and think about how Christ here passed through them, that the difference between life and death or passing from one, from one scene you're at to another, so to speak, or crossing over, or however you want to put it, is a very thin veil. We can't see it. And I've heard him describe it before like a saran wrap or something. You know, we can't see on one side, but in other words, I know you can't pass through that, but it's that thin. In other words, we can pass through. In other words, when we have that new body, that's how we'll be able to go from one place to the other just for the thought. And that's why Christ, being God, he could pass through them or pass by or be almost invisible to them. In other words, we'd be able to, with that new body, and I'd have both legs in, I'd be able to just go right on through one side, back to the other. And you say, oh, that's you. Especially, I know some of the young people or anybody may be saying, oh, I don't know about that. And I have nothing other than the verses here to read and then to think, how would God be able to do that? But think about how he appears in the upper room, too. He didn't open the window and climb in. He didn't open the door. He just shows up. So he's got to be able to pass through the elements or a wall, or he's got to be able to come out or pass through from what you would think a heavenly kingdom, so to speak, or into this world. And you think about two angels and how they used to appear. And I thought about that a lot of times. Well, did they come down way out of the heavens and travel millions of miles? Well, they may have, but it may have been just passing from one, what I'm saying, what we would think in our minds, the human nature. It really was just them passing over from one, I call it one scene to another, kind of like you would a stage, so to speak, but it's just through the curtain. We just can't see it where we're at, but therein they can. Anyway, that just gives you something to think about and chew on and look at. That's just kind of how, in my mind, I've thought about that. Dimension, that's it. I was trying to think. That's what I was trying to think of, from one dimension to the next. And that's what Billy Mitchell would use. He called it a dimension. We just, in our earthly bodies, can't see that. And you remember we said before, remember last week we talked about God's thoughts and plan is so far above our way of thinking, no matter how smart you are, you can't understand it. And I can't. Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah, exactly. They're encamped around about. And we're like, was it Elisha? Yeah. So he could see them. And all of a sudden he said, oh, look at all the chariots and fire and all that. Yeah, and he said, open his eyes, he could see them. And so I think, just talking about Thomas, we always call him Doubting Thomas, half glass full, half glass empty. His eyes were open. He was very bold. And he said, you know what? Let's go with him. Let's die with him. And that's what he said here. So can he have a pessimistic personality, still be sincere and follow Jesus? Yes. I think we answered that question here with Lazarus as we go see. And just as a side note, chew on this a while too. If you'll notice, when Jesus called Lazarus' name, he called his name specifically. Because he just said, just come forth, all the graves would open up. Think about that. All right, let's go on here to the next part. Number two, look at my time. Yeah, we got enough time. Should get you out in time to visit. All right, let's look at the upper room since we're talking about Thomas, and said, can you be very logical in your thinking? And you guys probably know somebody that very logical, very stepwise, this must equal this, must equal this, must equal that. If you like mathematics, you know that's usually how math works. The 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2, et cetera, then it must be, you know, whatever, 6 or 8 or whatever you're adding up. But if you go to John 14, I believe it is, verses 1 through 7, 1 through 8, we'll look here and read and we'll see. Can you be logical and a rational type person and still be spiritual? You know, I say that because a lot of doctors are that way. I just come back from those appointments, and I didn't go when I was studying this, but I've been now, so these examples are in my mind. You know, they went through the scans and things with me, and they'd pull them up, and they'd say, this is, these are clips where we did the surgery. That's what you see here in the metal. Here's the metal in your back. Here's, you know, they went through that stepwise, very logical. This bone's really white, so it looks like there's no cancer there. You know, they're very logical and practical in their thinking. So that equals this. We'll see you again in 3 months. That's the way they approach that. But can you be that way in life and even when you read and study the Scripture, but still be spiritual And we're going to get to faith in just a second. That's going to be the last thing. You say, wait a second, we were saved by faith. That's right. I'm not getting away from that. I'm just talking about who we are. Remember I said human nature. Look at who Thomas was, who we are, individuals. We're all different. So here's the upper room experience. And we'll look here. It said, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? See, here comes that very logical, rational thinking. He thought, wait a second. Lord just told us, said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, we know we believe that by faith. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But then Thomas says that, but we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? In other words, Thomas is saying, yeah, I'm going to go with you. But where are we going? You haven't told me. Where are we going? Tell me the place we're going. And that's why he once said, so how am I going to know the way if I don't know where we're going? It'd be like me getting in the car with you, and let's say I knew we was going back to Houston. We'll keep using it as an example. So I would know the way. But I don't tell you, but you're driving. And I said, well, we're going to a place. Just take with me. And so by faith, you'll say, well, I guess Brian knows where we're going. I'll just follow his directions. You think about that. But at the same time, it'd be good if you think in your mind, think, boy, I wish I knew where we were going. I'll go right along with him, but I wish we knew where I was at. And so as you look and see what Jesus says, as Jesus says unto him, and again, as you look in Scripture and find just verses that just you can dig and just find all kinds of gold nuggets or diamonds, whatever you call them, just like we looked a while ago at that verse 59, look at this one here. So Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, what he's saying, he said if there's, and in Thomas's question, the way he would have thought about that, I think here, if you're thinking about just the logical side, and he's trying to figure it out, where are we going? So you tell me where we're going. He said if there's no way, and I say way, because as Jesus said here, I am the way, then there's no going. Think about that. Jesus said, I am the way. So if there's no Jesus, there's no Savior, then there's no going. Boy, that's a deep thought if you think about that. There's no going. There's no salvation. There's no mansions. There's no heaven if there's no way. And he answered him again. He said, the truth. I am the way. And then, of course, you take that and say, I am the truth. If there's no truth, there's no knowing. There's no gospel. You think about that. Yep, you're wasting your time. And who said that already, Brother John? Before we pray. That's right. There's no truth. There's no knowing. And what else did he say? He said, I'm the life. I am the life. If there's no life, there's no living. Think about that. So if there's no way, and as Thomas looks at that, if there's no way, there's no going. If there's no truth, there's no knowing. If there's no life, there's no living. There's no afterlife, we would say. What comes after death? And again, as Brother Gale's already said, they were wasting their time. So Thomas wanted to know the way. So how did I get there? Where are we going? Lord answered that quickly and also briefly. When I say briefly, so we could understand as we read that. Let's read a couple more verses and we'll move on to the last one. We'll be finished this morning. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He hath seen me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am, in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Amen. All right, so we've looked at two, I guess, questions here that we think about in Thomas's life. Can you be pessimistic type person and still be sincere and follow Jesus? Can you be very logical and rational in your thinking and be just that type of person? And you know, if we've said before, the church is full of different personalities. And so, yeah, Thomas shows that as well. And he's saying, wait, Lord, you're saying go here. We're going to go with you, and you're preparing for us some mansions. But where are we going? What's the way? How do we get there? And the Lord answers that. Last but not least, can you have a crisis of faith, or can you doubt your salvation? And can that happen? Can that occur? Do you have to guard against that? And as we look here, if you go over to John 20, and we stayed in John the entire time today, and this may happen to some, may not happen to others, but as we see here, Thomas, if you'll go over chapter 20, let's see, verse number 18, and we'll read a few verses there, and we'll skip down for the sake of time and finish out that chapter, and we'll see. See, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Of course, this is after the resurrection. Then the same day at evening, so here's where we're talking about. See, I always, especially as I read this every time, you think about this. And this is what Billy Mitchell was referring to, and Brother Gale talked about the dimensions. See, how else would you explain this? Well, he's God. He can go to and fro. That's right, but we're going to have a body in his likeness, too. You think about this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. So if I was fearing somebody, afraid they were going to get me, I'm going to have all the doors and windows shut. I'm going to be locked down. And I don't want anybody to know I'm there. Disciples assembled for the fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. And again, that's in the middle of them. It's not like he was over in the corner. All of a sudden, he was there. So it'd be like if you were having a conversation, Jesus popped right in the middle of you. Saith unto them, peace be unto you. In other words, that was a welcome, a greeting. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's what Thomas said. And you said, well, wait a second. You've just said he was the one who said, I'll go die with him. That's right. He said that. He's the one that asked the Lord, where are you going? That way we'll know the way. And I see that as saying, I'm going with you. Just tell me where we're going. How do we get there? Because I'm going to go with you. Now he's the one. He was, wait a minute, then. He really wasn't pessimistic. No, I don't think so. The first two questions he asked. Here, I think he's just wanting to be sure. Has that? You think about his faith in Christ Jesus and in the resurrection. And he's taking these other men's words for it. He's wanting to say, no, I want to see it myself. I said, you got to see it. I want to see it. I want to meet him. I want to see him again. And as we look here, said, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. I don't see any place in there where it says that, you know, of course, the other disciples told Thomas. But where in there anywhere does it say the other disciples went and told, here we go again, told Christ what Thomas had said. They didn't go over and say, you know what, he doesn't even believe that you showed up among us. He says this, that's right, they didn't have to. Because again, he knows your heart, he knows what you think. He does. And already right here, that's that showing, that dimension, coming in and out, here he comes in again. And in the process of that, he knew exactly what Thomas had said. He said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas. He went right to Thomas. He greeted them all and went right to Thomas. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Well, he went straight to what Thomas had said he had to see, had to behold. What did Thomas say up here? He said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. He went straight to that. He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not what? Faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. His faith. Thomas had it. That's right. Amen. And so as you look at Thomas and his life, was he a person with the glass half full or half empty? And half empty is usually what we thought, because even in Sunday school, when we were little, we thought about doubting Thomas. Or was Thomas's personality just a little different than the others? He was willing to go forth and die with Jesus. He's willing to follow him anywhere. And he was not willing to take the other disciples' word for it. But he was faithful. He served the Lord. And he's willing to follow him anywhere. So you know what? I look at more like Thomas was a half-full type guy. He wasn't half-empty. And that's how some of us are. We've all got different personalities. We're all human nature. We all question things sometimes. But as we know, all our answers are right here in the Scripture. All of them in this book. Anything, any problem you've got in life. Well, that's all I've got this morning. I appreciate you.